Hello, and welcome to the CG Garage, episode number 5, brought to you by the Chaos Group. In this episode, we decided to look back at 2014 and see all the things we've been able to do in a year. Lon Gross, David Tracy, and I talk about all the things we've done, including starting labs, a bunch of software that we've released, a lot of different V-Ray versions, a bunch of events that we've been to and the things that we've done at those events, and figured it was a good thing to do for the end of the year. We've got a whole bunch more podcasts planned and a lot more guests coming, so stay tuned and let us know what you think. Let us know what you'd like to hear. Make sure you leave your comments and your tweets or whatever you want to do, and hopefully you'll enjoy it.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
So, this is the first one we've done post,
since the launch.
Since the launch. So this is the first time I'm doing one that's...
Yeah, mid. Where there's pressure. There's pressure to deliver.
Like during the season.
Beautiful
this is
content.
A mid-season.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what it is. I mean...
I feel like we're already going to hit the sophomore slump with this one.
Wow, that's quick.
It's pretty bad. If it was Fox, would be canceled after tomorrow.
Right.
For this one.
Yeah, we would get shut down.
Yeah.
Not you guys. It would just mostly be me. I'd get kicked off the island. But that's okay.
And then David, when you talk towards me, not towards Juan.
Because
when you talk
you.
That way, you
yeah. In fact, don't ever make eye contact with me.
Don't.
Yeah. Even look this way.
It's like, close your eyes, Marianne. Don't open them.
That was a Raiders of the Lost Ark reference for those who don't know. You like to make that reference a lot, actually.
I love that reference, though. It works.
So, Lon, we did actually have a topic list today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were going to talk about how we've been here for a year.
It's pretty amazing to think that a year has gone by. It's flown by. It went by so fast that it was a blink.
Well, so last year I came on board a little over a year ago.
Yeah. We're working out of my house.
Working out of your house, hanging out with your dogs.
And Pete's coffee.
And Pete's coffee. That's it. That's what we did. Got the coffee and working out of your house, which was kind of interesting. And most of what we were doing at that time was figuring out about moving into this office.
Yeah. Trying to figure out, find space.
Logistics.
Well, it was funny. So I go to Lon and like we're trying to figure it out. And Lon's like, oh, yeah, it's a space. And he shows me the office that we're going to go to. And there's still the people that were tenants at the time were still here. And they were literally going to move out when we're going to move in.
Yeah. And I hope they don't listen to this podcast because I'm going to throw them under the bus.
Okay.
It was awful. I mean, like you had to have – there were roaches. There were some things here.
It was pretty gross.
Yeah.
Really?
We said that they had cooties.
Yeah, they had cooties.
Yeah, they definitely
did. It was basically like it was a bunch of nerdy guys who pretty much wanted to be in a frat house but didn't know how to do it, and they made it here, and it was just gross all over the place. What and really weirdly was, organized, too. Really weirdly organized.
Can we say what industry was previously in said space?
I'm not even sure.
I think they were I think they represented like the recording artists for
– They did some kind of a recording thing, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a legal side of it.
So
the space was laid out so it was awful.
It was pretty bad.
They had a curtain that was the ongoing joke for a long time. They had a shower curtain that like closed off the kitchen.
Wow.
That made me visibly angry.
And then
I kept
saying lines like, well, what, you know, we got to make sure they don't take the curtain.
Keep the curtain.
How else are we going to separate the kitchen out from the rest of the space? So, yeah, it was pretty bad. And what was funny about it was that, you know, they were going to move out and then we were going to have the space beginning of January. And I went to Lon and I said, well, it's just going to be
a big empty space.
Big empty space. What are we going to do? And then Lon's like, it's like, Chris, you know, we're two architects. I think we can figure out how to fill this space.
Right. I was like, if two architects can't put furniture in an office, we need to go get our money back.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you need desks and computers.
Yeah.
Well, we did that, and it was just, you know,
but it was much more than that. I mean,
we organized. We were thinking about the flexibility. In fact, we thought about more flexibility than we've actually utilized at this point. But we still have the spaces well organized. Generally speaking, people enjoy it when they're here. It's a little unconventional, but I still think it really works. It's very collaborative. And it's a garage. That's why this podcast is called the CG Garage. It's literally the garage door opens it to the outside and makes it kind of fun.
I like the yellow cart that looks like the thing you wheel over to like check your emissions.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a crash cart.
It's the a crash cart thing.
Yeah. I like that.
Yep. Yep. And then all of our coffee and stuff in the kitchen is all in one of those racks that you normally put all your bolt nuts and bolts and divots and tools into.
So you just need an old TV mounted in the top corner of the
and a Snap-on calendar.
Yeah, yeah. And just like playing like the worst daytime television channel that you cannot change.
Yeah. And it's kind of like fuzzy a little bit and it's probably paying. I remember that was at DD in the kitchen at DD. They had the exact same thing. And everyone was looking at the TV intensely. I thought something bad happened in the news. Nope. It was Little House on the Prairie was on.
That's inspiration.
And the girl fell in the well. Remember that episode of Little House on the Prairie?
Yeah. No, I don't remember that episode at all.
And so everyone was like, all these guys were like, oh, she fell in the well and they're all watching. There was like 12 people watching Little House on the Prairie. Anyway, that was a side story. But anyway, so we occupied the space and it's been a year since we've been here and we've been busy.
There was so much IKEA stuff to put together.
Yeah. IKEA and CB2.
And CB2. Yeah. Which somehow we managed to get two truckloads all delivered here.
Yep.
Put together.
Yep. Yep. There was a lot of that. Yeah. And
it's a nice space.
It is a good space. Vlado loves it here. He comes by. He stands at the high tables that we have and just sort of sits his laptop down. You guys can probably see it on the lab's website if you're listening, but we have a big umbrella inside the space.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a little bit funny.
Which is a very good luck.
And you can open up the – it's a good luck. Yeah. You can open up the wall. You can open
the garage,
up
the whole garage door. Opens, yeah. But Vlado basically sits under the umbrella at that desk and he stands up at the desk and he seems to enjoy it. So I think it's inspiring to see that. That kind of space works for
everyone. That's working. And then we got this room, which is full of foam.
Yeah.
It is full of foam.
We have our little edit room full of foam.
It looks like Daria's bedroom.
Who's Daria?
The cartoon Daria. She has like the padded room.
Right. Wait, so you know Little House on the Prairie episodes, but not Daria?
Well, no, we didn't have Daria in Athens, Greece when I was living there, but we had Little House on the Prairie.
All right. That makes sense.
I'm sorry. So we were going to try to go by and talk about all the different things that we did. One is we started labs.
Yeah, and pretty early on, some projects started to come flying at us.
Well, tell the story about how we started coming up with – well, you started coming up with the idea of labs, and you started talking to me about it long ago.
I'd been in L.A. for a little while and wanted to put together an office, and I knew we needed to expand the team, which we did. We've added you first and then David and Gina and the team is continuing to grow in LA. But I didn't want to just have an office where we were kind of just looking at the same three people every day. We wanted to bring in some artists and anybody, to open door policy to let them come in, share ideas, because there's so many great conversations we have with people that they've got a cool project or a short that they're working on or anything, and just wanted to make it so that we could kind of experiment. And part of it was, hey, we have these great relationships with folks at hardware companies and other software companies. Wouldn't it be cool if we could set something up where people could come in and treat it like a computer lab? Where it's like, hey, I want to see how this renders on a GPU, or I want to see if it will work on the cloud, and people don't necessarily have access to all of those things, but they could show up with a thumb drive and a file and test it out.
Well, that was a good idea, and that is kind of happening. But what's also interesting is they're coming up to us saying, I want to do something different.
Yeah,
I want to do something complete, and that's kind of how it started with Kevin, right?
Yeah.
So that whole project was kind of probably the first big labs project was the construct project. And him coming in, it's like, I've got this idea. And then we sort of steered it and turned it. I mean, I've told the story a couple of times already, but it's a good idea of how that happened.
Well, what's fascinating to me is that where it started, right? What we initially thought we were going to solve was, let's do something that is production worthy GPU rendering.
Right.
And we'd kind of reached that point where it was possible. And that actually turned out to be pretty easy.
That
part was kind of simple. it was, what if we do this? Like, what if we turn it up on it, you know, on its end? Oh, we solved that. Now let's render it 4K stereo, 120 frames a second.
Right. Or what do we do? Like, hey, can we get V-Ray RT to update the 30th of a second? Or,
right.
You know, to get it running.
Let's bring this into the mocap studio.
Yeah. So there's a lot of weird ideas. And the same process, in a sense, can be said about the WikiHuman project, right?
Yep.
So when we started the thing, it was just an idea. It's like, we want to do something that showcases characters because we want to showcase characters. And that was it. That was the only start that started it. And it just ballooned into this whole organization of people that are now getting involved. And more people want to get involved in different industries and all kinds of stuff. So the whole WikiHuman project became a big one as well. And it's got a lot of attention.
So. Well, it's been great, too, to see how many people wanted to help out. And, you know, some of those first conversations with guys like Paul and Jay and Graham and over at ICT, they're our neighbors. So,
right.
And they're working on cutting edge digital humans. It's like, great. Let's
make talk.
That. Yeah. And, you know, that was an awesome connection to make. And then of course a few of the guys at DD and other folks that we worked with that are just, you know, amazingly talented artists.
Yep.
Producing digital humans, you know, either by themselves or at a studio. And,
right.
And suddenly it was like, we've got this really powerful team. And then you got in touch with Angela.
Yep.
Who is, you know, the PhD on Uncanny Valley. I mean,
right.
That's amazing.
And Mike Seymour is the same boat. Mike approached Paul about it, or Paul told, I think Paul just told Mike about it, and Mike approached us about it. And so he's on board. And he's extremely active, which is really cool as well. I mean, that's just kind of a great community to be involved with. And it was very strange for me coming from production. You know, I didn't realize, it was one of those things I realized that I actually know a lot of people that do different things. And it wasn't until now that I had the opportunity to make those connections and make that happen.
It's 6 degrees of separation of Chris Nichols.
Right. Right.
Yeah, well, we tease him that he's Kevin, you know, he's like Kevin Bacon.
I'm the Kevin. The Gina has Bacon. Been telling me I'm the Kevin Bacon of CG.
He might even be 5 degrees and Kevin's 6.
Yeah. I worked with a guy who did the digital double of Kevin Bacon, so it's so yeah. Anyway, it's pretty funny.
Well, even the concept of even the going through naming some of this stuff has been kind of fun.
Right. Well, that,
like,
was,
well, what were we going to call this group?
Well, I hated the ideas like the digital human assembly. Group,
right.
Committee,
advisory board,
yeah. Group, yeah.
Advisory committee.
Committee, and it just sounded horrible. And then Lon just was goofing around. He's like, how about the Digital Human League?
Oh, when you first threw that name out
there,
I was in heaven.
Well, I mean, there's the Human League, right? So we've got this beautiful 80s, you know, music reference, but.
But I also like it because it makes it sound like we're a band of superheroes, too.
Yeah, well, that we are.
Yeah.
In our own mind.
That's right. And then we just like, well, I'm just going to call it the Digital Film League as well. And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least then it's named something that.
It's consistent.
And you want to join, right? You're like, right. Yes, I want to be part
it's
of
like
that.
It's like heist.
Yeah. You
remember
it's like the word heist. Right. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. I'm in. Heist.
A heist. That's right.
And then WikiHuman, I'm amazed that it wasn't taken.
Yeah.
WikiHuman.com is taken, but WikiHuman.org is not. But we want org anyway.
We wanted org anyway, yeah.
Yep.
So what is WikiHuman.com? What is that?
WikiHuman.com?
Yeah, what's on that site?
I don't know. But if you go to
Hopefully it's suitable for work for everybody that's going to go click on it.
Yeah. I know, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still working on the WikiHuman.
It's a witchcraft site.
Right. We're still working on the WikiHuman.org page. It's getting close.
It's getting close. Well, that's, I mean, that's something that's been pretty exciting too, is that the lab site's up. Yep. WikiHuman is getting close, you know, yep, to actually have the places.
And the podcasts are getting a lot of downloads.
Except for this one. This one
will be low.
It's the end of it.
This one will be low. But yeah, it's surprising. They're just getting a lot of hits. And it's like, ooh, okay. And you know, David, thank you for, you know, just giving me all the pointers to how to make a podcast.
Oh.
Well, you've got the experience from the modcasts. And
yeah, yeah, well, David used to do the modcast, they were called, right?
Yeah, short for Modo.
Modo. So yeah, it was the Modo podcast, basically, and it was the modcast. And that was pretty popular and cool, right?
Yeah, and it was I loved it just because there was it was very casual. I mean, just like, that's what I love about what you're doing with this. It's just, we're just talking.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about what's going on, and there's no pitch. You're just, you react, like if something happens and somebody has a problem, you can you know, discuss it on the podcast, or if you're ready, sure, to whatever you want to.
Well, that's something I was actually thinking about doing with the podcast we haven't had many comments or tweets or whatever questions, but I've put it out there to the audience. If they want to hear something, or they have ideas, or they have questions, or they anything, just let us know. Put it out there so we can.
Well, we've joked around that it could be like car talk, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you've got a rendering problem.
Yeah.
Does it sound like this?
Yeah. Just put oil in it.
Yeah. So yeah, we were joking around on making like a car talk, V-Ray talk kind of. It'll be funny. Like Daniel and I could do a really good job with V-Ray talk.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny.
Yeah. The other things that have happened that's kept us ridiculously busy is the amount of freaking software releases that we've had this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dev team's been on fire. They've absolutely been
there's been time
out of the park.
It's some of the first times I've ever experienced this, but Vlado not answering emails.
Yeah, I think there were a few times where, you know,
there was like about
everybody was a little overwhelmed.
There was about a 3-week period just before the Maya release came out.
Yep.
That there was Vlado was not responding to emails. And that's never happens. He responds to email at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning his time. I don't understand. But anyway, he just wasn't responding. And the products have come out are pretty big. So we've had what, V-Ray for Max?
Yep.
V-Ray for SketchUp and for Rhino.
Yep.
And V-Ray for Max SP1.
Yep. Service Pack.
Which is huge. And V-Ray for, so there's a lot.
And Maya just came out.
Right. And Maya just came out.
Maya.
And the other big thing that happened was at SIGGRAPH, we announced all the Foundry ones.
Yeah.
And that was a big one too, right? So which was the V-Ray for Modo and V-Ray for Nuke.
Yep.
And V-Ray for Katana.
And the release of V-Ray for Katana.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny. When I first came on board, I thought, oh, it's just going to be pretty easy. It's going to primarily be one product release you're working on, and that's V-Ray. And then I look at the timeline and the schedule and, you know.
V-Ray is in everything.
It is in everything. It is a lot of products that are on their own development cycles.
And right.
There's a lot.
And what was interesting to us is that from SIGGRAPH, we were both Modo and Nuke got a lot of attention. But Nuke, we thought, would be too obscure enough or weird enough that it wouldn't get as much as Modo. But it got almost as much, if not more, than Modo in some cases in terms of the interest. So, and that's basically a place where you don't typically see ray tracing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still kind of carving out a place for...
Right.
How does this exactly extend the pipeline?
Yeah, it's one of those things that you're going to release it into the wild, and then artists are going to come up with these amazing use case scenarios for
right.
it that we didn't even think about in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just see where V-Ray and Nuke is going to be. I can see it happening. I understand where it is. I really see it very, very popular with the Digimat guys, or anyone doing matte painting of that kind would really benefit from it. But some examples I've seen are completely different than that. They go way beyond that.
Yeah, facial replacements.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff.
Fluids and, you know, putting all that stuff in 3D and post.
Yeah, so it's really kind of interesting to see that happening. And that was at SIGGRAPH that we did that.
Yeah.
We announced that, right? SIGGRAPH is pretty fun this year. I hadn't been to Vancouver yet.
You had not been to Vancouver before?
Nope. That was my first time in Vancouver.
Oh, man. It was something else.
Yeah, it was nice. It's a nice city.
I get mesmerized by watching the seaplanes land.
That was the convention center makes it really easy to enjoy the city because you're sitting there going, there's a plane. Look how little. It's so beautiful. Yeah. So it's really, really pretty over there.
It was a good lineup for V-Ray Days. I mean, the presentations were
solid.
Were awesome.
They were really, really good. I think I remember it was funny because Martin from IKEA, he was concerned about like, well, I don't know how many people are going to attend my talk. And it was – the door were open. It was flooding out the back. It was basically like standing room only, so which was pretty funny for his presentation.
We're going to need a bigger room next time.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't small.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all.
Yeah, I mean, we could easily fit 100 plus people in there, right? Maybe around.
Yeah, and one thing I think that's worth pointing out is that what we show on the demo stage and in the booth and everything like that is all good stuff too. But we're able to get
It's like we have
permissions and stuff to go like a little bit deeper and show like different projects.
And those were big talks, right? Those are the kind that you need to sit down and pay attention to, as opposed to just seeing someone do some, a nice quick abbreviated presentation that you can just stumble into while you're on the booth, right?
Yeah.
This was more like, all right, this is a full-on presentation, which would end up being pretty good. I think the one I loved, which was the Jonathan Litz was...
Yeah, the Maleficent stuff. That he did such a great job.
Yeah.
And he's got such a good style of presenting. You know, he makes the most technical stuff seem just so approachable. And
he was really, really good. And to me, it was especially, you know, kind of close to me because I'd worked on it.
You know,
and that was the last thing I did before I came over here. And he was addressing me and saying, oh, well, Chris, you remember when you were dealing with this and that. And so it was really kind of cool to see that happen and then have people understand how all that stuff was being put together and what was happening. I mean, just, you know, dealing with hair and how the development that was going on for version 3 of V-Ray was sort of happening at the same time that they were tackling some issues on Maleficent. And so it was really kind of interesting to just sort of talk about that. And, I'm really proud of those characters. That was pretty substantial character work that was done by DD for those things. So those were great. And some of, you know, the stuff that Scanline did was incredible as well.
Yeah.
Kevin presented Construct and presented a bunch of the Blur project as well.
Those guys were on fire this past year, too.
Oh, yeah. Blur. Crazy.
I mean, an hour's worth of Halo stuff.
Yeah.
It's basically a full animated feature.
They did an hour worth of Halo stuff in like 8 months.
Yeah.
An hour worth of full CG cinematic in 8 months. And then they did the Elder Scrolls stuff.
Elder Scrolls.
And then... What else they were? They've done a bunch of other things. I mean, it's just really...
The Assassin's Creed stuff came out.
Yep. And now things are shifting there. They're just trying to get some big features.
I can't wait to see what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on that are going to be pretty interesting over there. So it's exciting.
With the Deadpool stuff, I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
I really liked the X-Men Days of Future Past presentation.
That was a good one, too. Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Very good. Very good. And Method did some really good presentations.
All the Mystique changeovers, right, in the Days of Future Past.
Yep.
Yeah, that and, I mean, just replicating the White House lawn as it actually looked and the growth of the trees at the time.
right.
When, you know, the movie takes place and everything like that. So, yeah, that was a really interesting one as well.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of...
And the Captain America stuff.
The Captain America. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Johan's, this is the second time he's done it for us, right?
Yeah, last year he showed some Pac-Rim stuff in Lone Ranger.
Right, and this year it was... Captain America.
Yeah, Winter Soldier.
It's funny, I like we talked about it when Vlad was here the last time, that he's starting to see, go to a lot of movies and not even realizing that V-Ray was used in them. It's used in a lot of movies.
Right. I'll tell him, you know, sometimes I'll send him an email like, hey, go check this out. It's got V-Ray. And he'll be like, oh, I didn't even know.
He said he went to go see Maze Runner and then he didn't know until after he saw it that it was all done in V-Ray.
Yep.
So it was pretty funny.
It seems like almost at any time, just check your local listings and odds are you're going to see
yeah.
in the theater. It's just, it's pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, that's kind of, that's a lot of tools that people are using. I mean, I don't want to necessarily say that it's, you know, new things. I think that that's the point where V-Ray is right now. It's matured as a product. A lot of people use it a lot of different ways. And there's other products out there, and those are very valid products as well. And people still like to, you know, work with RenderMan or whatever. But I think V-Ray is now definitely one of the big products that people use, and it's in part of everyone's pipeline. And it's just very refreshing to see that. Or you don't have to, V-Ray doesn't have to defend itself anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have to go, well, you know, we can do really high-end stuff. It's like, no, we all know they can do high-end stuff now. That's what it is, and it's possible. And it trickles to everyone, right? It's availability to, and all the way down to, you know, like we were doing the SketchUp stuff, right?
Yep.
That's another event that you and I attended this year with the AIA Conf.
Yeah.
And so I come from the architecture community. That's where I came from. I have my master's in architecture, and I was practicing as architecture at Gensler for several years after that, after I graduated. And so I knew that community when ArcViz was just kind of starting to really become more of an entity. But I hadn't done it after that. I left for feature films, and I hadn't tackled it in 10 plus years or more. And then when I went back to AIA, then suddenly it was it was this weird thing that was going on. It's like, huh, all of these architects now, they're not using Max anymore. They're all using SketchUp. Yep. And to them, it's like, they're the least technical, like always the visualization guys are the most technical people in the office. And the people is like, I use V-Ray. I use V-Ray and SketchUp. And they're admitting that they're the least technical person around, right? Which is awesome that suddenly V-Ray is accessible to a person that basically just like, I just want to design my building. I use the simplest tool possible. And want to render something that looks real, and that's it. So you can go from the Jonathan Litz in the world to create, the Pixies of Maleficent down to a guy who wants to design a building and mass it out and do renderings in just a few hours. So without necessarily having a huge technical knowledge. And that's a huge diversity of people that we support. So AIA was really interesting to me to see what was going on there.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's a crazy huge show.
It was in Chicago this year.
Yep. My hometown.
Your hometown. And for those who don't know what AIA is, it's the American Institute of Architects, and they have a big conference every year. Think of it like the SIGGRAPH for those in the VFX community. Think of it like SIGGRAPH for architects.
Yeah, except you're walking down the aisles and you're like, I'm in the door section now.
Right.
I'm in the bathroom fittings.
Yeah, it's all kinds of products that you would use for architecture. When Scott Metzger was with us, he's saying, it's like I'm at a high-end Home Depot. Yeah,
the highest end.
Yeah. A really expensive Home Depot. Yeah.
That's right. But there's a huge section of the software tools that are out there, new technology and that type of stuff. And that's where we had our booth. Our booth was really cool. You should talk about how that booth was done.
Yeah. Yeah, we had it fabricated all a lot of flat pack pieces and
it came from the WikiHouse project.
WikiHouse project, yep.
So WikiHouse project is a method of building houses, which is basically rapid prototype. Rapid prototyping houses, where you basically design a house and it all comes together with just plywood, no nails necessary, and it just laser cuts all this plywood. And you can build a house. And there's designs out there where you can just give you the design.
And in this case, Ted went in from our Baltimore studio, went in, put it all together in SketchUp, did a bunch of renderings of it.
Right.
So we knew what the thing was going to look like. And then the WikiHouse guys cut it, fabricated it.
And then it just shipped to us all flat, and we had to assemble it like a jigsaw puzzle.
It went together like a puzzle.
Yeah, we should put a picture of that up on the – I'll put a picture of that.
And it's part of it, right? It's become
part of the new office in Baltimore.
Yeah. It's a really cool booth. It is a really cool booth. And we also happen to have some pretty cool speakers. I mean, I remember Lon coming up to me and saying, hey, we're going to have all these really cool, interesting people that are going to be showing up for AIA. We should turn this into a conversation that we have with them. So we ended up doing a video with them too.
Yeah. I mean, we had guys from really well-known architecture studios, from Gensler, from Big.
Right.
Just fantastic designers. We've known for years, like Jorge and
Jorge was there, and then
Jeremy from Studio JDK came in, who their style, the style of sort of part rendering, part, you know, drawing. Illustration is just gorgeous. And we thought that would be a nice, you know, something nice to showcase for all the people that want to see something sketchier.
Yeah. It was really nice for me also to be able to hang out at Gensler, because we, that's where we recorded our video.
Yep.
And to see like all my old coworkers there. And I realized that I, you know, seeing some of them there, I was like, I hadn't seen him. I hadn't seen Kyle in a long time. I was like, hey, wow, that's Kyle. It's like, he looks older. And I started realizing I probably look a lot older too. And so he's much more mellow, but he's not kind of the same guy. So it's really nice to sort of catch up with that and sort of feel back connected back to the architecture community again, because I think there's some really interesting things going on in architecture that's going to be very, very different. And we're starting to tackle some of those ideas as well.
Well, I mean, one of the coolest things we showed at AIA was the partnership with the guys at Neuralize.
Yeah.
And they showed Atom View for the first time.
Yep.
Which, you know, which is still under development. But, you know, the ability to put on the Oculus and see the space completely realistically
rendered without having to go through a Unity engine system.
Right.
Yeah.
You just render it and you can see it not as a spherical image, but as actual dimensions and space where the proper stereo.
With scale.
So it was pretty, and it just kind of blew everyone's minds a little bit, putting them on, seeing the people looking at it.
So. And it was one of those things where I was thinking about when I was designing architecture, what I would have given to have that. The ability to throw on an Oculus Rift, walk around the space, or just look around the space as if you were really, truly there in complete high fidelity. Not, this is some sort of sketchy thing or you know, it's a pretty good game engine representation.
No, it was a V-Ray render. It was a V-Ray render that had scale to it.
It's like you're on the holodeck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
Yep. So it was really, really interesting. And having Scott there to see that, I think, was really interesting to him too, because he started to realize like, oh, so many people are available to do that. I mean, that was like all of a sudden he was saying like, meet your new clients, you know?
Yep.
And these are guys are going to do it. And that was a thing that surprised me. I mean, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but everyone come up to me as like, oh yeah, I know V-Ray. I use it in SketchUp. I mean, almost everyone was using it in SketchUp. That's like the way to, if you're going to do some designing and quick modeling and stuff, that SketchUp is just perfect for that.
Yep.
And that's why architects gravitate towards it now. So
until you want to do something with curves, and then you go into Rhino.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And then Big uses Rhino a lot now.
Yeah.
Right? And they talked about that a little bit.
Or push through, you know, the parametric design stuff with Grasshopper or.
Yep. Well, cool. The other big, some of the other big events. GTC was another one for us. That was kind of the beginning. That was at the beginning of the year.
Yep. GTC coming up is going to be.
GTC coming, yeah. If GTC last year was.
They keep building on each other.
Yeah. GTC last year, this year was big. And it was basically Vlado talking about a bunch of stuff. Kevin doing a teaser of Construct, which kind of blew up.
Yeah,
and then Mike Romy talking about massive, massive pipelines that are possibly going to be rendered in and GPUs as well. And because of that, it continued to build a lot. It was really cool.
I went on a big, crazy GPU V-Ray Construct.
Yeah, you hit the road.
Oh, that's right. You went on a road show. I completely forgot about the road show. Tell them about the road show. So where was that? So it was us and NVIDIA partnering. NVIDIA and Bunk Speed.
And Bunk Speed.
Partnering together to do literally like a rock tour on a bus, except you were guys on airplanes, right?
Pretty much with HP.
And
I think Autodesk helped sponsor it as well.
Okay. And you basically, how many cities did you guys go to?
We did six cities.
Yeah, and it started at FMX, right?
And it was, the pace was basically we'd go to the city, we'd do the presentation in a city, and then we were already packed. And then right after the presentation, after the meet and greet, we're off to the airport.
Right.
To fly to the next city. And then the next night, there's another presentation. So it was, yeah, one day.
Literally, it's like rock concert.
It really was. It was pretty.
And so you did, it was about a week and a half and you did like,
seven
cities or something like that, right?
Stuttgart, Warsaw, Paris,
Berlin,
London and Munich.
Munich.
Jeez.
And I stayed at the same hotel as the cool Spanish football team, that Real Madrid or something like that.
Right.
There's tour buses all out front of it.
Which I think Gina freaked out about.
They just walked right by me, all these people that I think Gina liked.
Right.
I couldn't name one of them. I don't know any of those people.
But yeah.
I guess I should have appreciated where I was at the same. But yeah, it was a crazy roadshow, but it was an amazing turnout. And it was surprising to me because Construct, you just kind of assume like, oh, everybody's seen Construct now. The teaser trailer had kind of been out there and been getting a lot of views on YouTube and stuff like that.
Right.
But for some of these audiences, they hadn't seen it yet. So I got to see like their faces and see their reactions.
Oh, really?
Watching for the first time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just pointing out like, by the way, you know, this is 7 minutes per frame and, you know, just going over the details of what it is that they've
well, what's seen. Funny also on the flip side of that, the other interesting thing was hearing Brian. Because Brian, our editor, who we work with a bunch of stuff, and he did the little, help us do the little first motion builder video that we whipped out in like a day, and it kind of went viral a little bit. And he was at another studio when they were doing some motion capture in that area, and he was there with the crew, the whole crew. They were having during the lunch break between motion capture sessions, they were outside, and they were looking at that construct. Making of, and I said, did you see this video? This is what we need to be doing for motion capture. And he said, so it was getting out to other people that he's like, and they were looking at Brian's like, have you seen this before? And goes, yeah, you should check the credits at the end of the video. So yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it a lot.
Yeah. And Platige Image did kind of an impromptu presentation in Warsaw.
Oh, that's right.
That was amazing too. Their work is crazy.
Platige is beautiful. And they're so nice.
Yeah.
Ran into them, interestingly speaking, at Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn.
Yeah.
And
the hamster was a fish, or the Trojan chicken was a monkey.
That is, well, whatever you're going to call it. And it's a really goofy name, but. Boy, is it really interesting!
You stayed in a
really
nice place there, didn't you?
Yes,
you stayed in a nice little suite.
Nice little suite. Yep, I went there with
the water, maybe.
Yes, right by the water.
That's
right,
pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sounded a little bit different than your trip on the roadshow. Right?
Yeah. Well, at that time I was at IBC, I was at the Holiday Inn in the parking lot.
We were staying at the. At the top floor corner suite of this hotel right by the water.
I had a breakfast buffet. So
that's nice. That's nice.
It wasn't even included, but I still went to the breakfast buffet because that's how I live.
That's good.
That's how you roll.
That's how I roll.
That's good. Yeah, we had an amazing, amazing time. That was quite the event that we went to. And what's cool about it, we didn't participate in the event. It was just mainly us just kind of looking into it and seeing what it was about. And Gina wanted to know more about it as well. But because of the way it's so intricate and close to – basically, the whole community just gets together. There's only about 500 people, and we get together for like 5 days. So we almost know everyone by the end of the whole session.
Well, and the guest speakers, I mean
– And the guest speakers are ridiculous.
They're awesome. Great artists, you name it.
Really cool. And then you're very approachable because, again, you're like in this small town in Portugal, and there's not much else going on, so you pretty much hang out with these people all day long. And it was a lot of fun. And so we really want to see what we can go to that again this year and see what we can
I think
part of it.
We should. We should.
We should. Yeah, I really – and what
sounds
I like
– Sounds to me like you're volunteering, David.
What I think is cool about it, you know, compared to like a SIGGRAPH of some kind – and I've been to a lot of these conferences. SIGGRAPH is very good, and I really appreciate it, and it's got a really good place for it, especially for some of the interesting technology that comes out. But Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn is very centered around artists and around the craft and around the aesthetics and the motivation. There's a lot of very junior people there, students there. So it's mostly a lot of mentorship and inspirational, almost like TED Talks kind of stuff. You know, a lot of people from Pixar talking about the culture of Pixar and that kind of stuff. So it was really, really cool to see that.
IBC was actually like the event was actually really good. And I got to see some really interesting stuff there. I watched the Magi projection system on the Christie 6P laser screen and all that stuff. And that was really, really interesting.
You're going to get one for your home entertainment system?
For the family room. Just scare the bejesus out of my three-year-old. Like, you want to see Curious George? Here's Curious George. Like, boom, like gigantic screen.
Now what do you want
to imagine? Yeah. I was lucky. I mean, I got to go see it at Photochem. We got Doug Trumbull got in touch with Kevin and I and said, hey, we're going to be in LA and you guys want to come see it. So I got to see Construct play it 4K, 120 FPS stereo. And I know my reaction when I hear those stats, I'm like, oh boy, you know.
Right. I don't want it to be, I mean, the Hobbit's cool, but there's something about the frame rate that makes it look like a soap opera.
But when you talk to Doug about it, and he's very, and Doug Trumbull is a smart guy. He's been doing this for a few years.
Yeah.
And he really knows his technology, and it's amazing how technically, you know, he knows about it. And the way he's talking about the logic of why it needs to be 120 FPS makes complete sense, especially when you're dealing with a projector system that basically has a refresh rate of 120 hertz. So might as well give it a unique image every flip of the switch, right? So, and it's really, really interesting to see that. And then and he talks about why he doesn't necessarily think that 48 FPS is the right way to go either, right? And so there's a middle ground there.
And I haven't seen it yet. I really want to see it.
It looks super smooth, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing that you have is you render for it, right? So you do 120, you do 360 degree shutter motion blur. So it's complete. There's the motion is just completely smooth no matter what you're doing. Hmm. So that's really kind of nice to see.
I told him that like some actors are going to require like some sort of post process. I mean, if you want to see the pores, I mean, there's so much detail in the face
right.
when it's, you know, close like that.
I was relying on motion blur.
Yeah. I kind of needed my, you know, like in the old movies where they have like the out of focus and the actor made friends with the gaffer. So they knew what was their best side and everything like that.
Right.
But.
Right. Well, that was pretty cool. To do that. What were the other big events that we go to this year? I think I'm forgetting a whole bunch.
Well, we touched upon on the FMX, but I mean, FMX was pretty cool.
FMX was pretty big. Yeah. We showed the Nino. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We showed the Nino stuff. And then we also, there was just a bunch of really interesting. Oh, we did the magazine, the V-Ray magazine for that as well, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And Blake Sweeney, he was amazing.
That's right.
He met with Stu. He did presentations, but he hung out in the booth and met with students and just talked about, you know, all the details of, you know, what it's like, you know, to work and advice on demo reels and all that. He was fantastic.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think there was a couple other big design things that we did was in the UK. What were they? Shape to Fabrication,
Develop 3D.
Develop 3D Live.
Product design.
There's some product design stuff there that mm-hmm. was really interesting that we attended. What are some of the other big ones we did? AIA, we were at AIA for a little. That was an interesting one.
Yep. We were at NAB.
NAB.
Sorry, NAB. Yeah. That's what that's I meant. What I said, of. Yeah, NAB. NAB. That was.
Well, that's where we got in touch with Doug.
That's where, yeah.
Yep.
Those are always interesting to do.
We're sort of the calm before the storm now, right before all of the big events kick off.
Yeah. We're trying to basically, we're ramping up our wall of armies of things to keep, you know, making sure all of our muskets are clean before the battle, right?
Yep.
Because it's about next year, it's going to be crazy, crazy stuff.
I thought GTC was good last year.
Yeah.
This GTC what? Is off the hook.
Yeah.
Force Awakens, GTC. I want a free gaming. I want another free gaming something. Remember, we all got free
the NVIDIA Shields.
NVIDIA Shields,
which is funny. I use it to watch TV in bed.
I never touch mine at all. Like
it's kind of funny. I kind of want the new one. Although I got to tell you though, right, the new NVIDIA tablet.
Oh
that's
yeah,
nice. It looks really nice.
Yeah, they had one at IBC. It's pretty
really clean. Mm-hmm. Not the Project Tango tablet.
No. Just the new Shield tablet.
Yeah, that looks nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's supposed to be. And they've got that crazy processor in them. Oh, that's another thing that we got. We've got a VCA in here.
Yep. That thing we know when it's rendering.
Oh, boy. So if those of you who don't know what a VCA is, we've obviously been doing a lot of GPUs there. But a VCA is a machine that sits in our little server room. It's a 4U machine, and it's got 8 K6000s in it, which I think is 25,000 cores or something crazy like that.
Right around that.
Yep. So a lot of power. It is also passively cooled with fans. And when you're running that much power and Kevin is doing something on Construct remotely on that, and that thing starts ramping up, you can hear it.
You can hear it.
You can hear it, yep. No matter where you are in the office.
Putting the soundproofing to that room.
We put a lot of soundproofing in that room and it's still...
We had one in the booth and we had to... Yeah, we had like a fake front like in the wall that made it look like it was the VCA, but the actual VCA unit was like... deeper into the booth.
Really?
The empty box, you know, the boxes of t-shirts around it. And
Trying to. Yeah, that thing is loud, but it is ridiculously fast rendering.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then the cluster where you've got several VCAs striped together. Yep.
Yeah, and that's another thing that suddenly was cool about it as well, is that Kevin was able to get access to the cluster and start thinking about using that. I mean, a lot of people say, well, you know, so you have very expensive hardware and access to this and that. And so, you know, he's doing Construct is not necessarily just a one-man show, but it is, because eventually that type of technology, that's going to be the future, where you're going to be GPUs are the type of GPU that the K6000 is eventually is going to become affordable, right?
Yep. Or you just tap into it when it's on the cloud.
And you tap into the cloud rendering is going to bring massive render farms to the masses.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you don't
it's
have to.
There.
It's already there. You don't have to be, you know, a big studio with a lot of money and invest in a huge infrastructure to get a render farm going. You can basically be Kevin, like out of his apartment in Venice, and accessing the NVIDIA VCA cluster to render his short at 120 FPS. So that's where it's about. So.
The second most popular video on the roadshow was, after the Construct teaser, was the Kevin video of the tour of his Venice apartment.
Oh, Venice apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Rufus. Door cracked open for air conditioning.
For air conditioning and Rufus the cat there.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yep, that was a cool one. So there was a bunch of news that came out this year. Like, I remember actually the Construct itself got the video of us in the motion capture stage got featured on Engadget and a couple other places as well.
Well, and also you had the good the GPU roundtable.
Right.
You did also with Vlado.
And that was right after GTC.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually something to help. It originally started, everything always starts with one idea and then balloons into something else. But it originally started as the idea that NVIDIA wanted some video content for the roadshow. And so we came up with the idea of doing this roundtable. And we said, all right, well, we'll do this roundtable and then you guys can use it as well. But it ended up being also pretty popular on our site. And there's a lot of cool discussion that happened about it. GPU technology at that time. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
Other news.
3D World stuff was pretty
3D
cool.
World. 3D World.
Yeah.
For the software update, but Vlado for the Hall of Fame, that was...
Yeah, so Vlado, yeah, that's right. Vlado got an award for, what is it, Man of the Year or something like that?
Man
or
of the Year.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, that's Hall what it fame. Is, Hall of Fame.
But in typical Vlado Mana fashion, forever. Where he's like... I didn't even know I was nominated. And then a super humble, like, okay, like, you know.
Thank you.
And this is only the second year they've had the Hall of Fame category for 3D World.
So who's the other Hall of Famer then?
I think Ed Catmull.
Yeah, okay, pretty, so he's in good company.
That's pretty good company.
Not too bad, yeah.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, and you're right, the best software update was 3.0 for Max.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and
And it was a good
SP1, SP1 good, is even bigger. Yeah.
Nominees yep. in both categories. There's some pretty impressive.
Yes.
Famous Folk and some other good software packages.
No. It was really cool to see that.
Well, I think, I mean, all told last year, when you look at just the industry in general, there was a pretty good size shift in disruptive technology and yes. things moving forward. Yep. It was palpable. I mean, you could really feel that.
Cloud that stuff is starting
turning a corner.
Cloud stuff is starting to become really big again. And not big again, but like people are paying attention to it, like things are happening.
Well, it's kind of going in, it's into V2 or V3
yep.
of cloud, right? So the initial, you know, some of the initial things of the kinks have been worked out and,
yep.
you know, that's pretty amazing. That's ready to rock on a different level.
And then there's now, you know, obviously a lot of other GPU technology is becoming big again. I think that's the thing, right? Once you got the 12 gigs of video memory, suddenly people are going to go, huh. And then you just got to show them you can do it, right?
Well, and the Intel Embry stuff is cool too.
That's true. Yeah. And we've actually done a lot to make that work, which is really cool. I was talking to Vlado in the last podcast. He was mentioning how the way that V-Ray has been built in the over time is to make it modular enough where introducing new technology becomes really much, much easier and simpler. So putting Embry, which is a major thing, yeah. into V-Ray was just like, oh, we'll just add Embry. And it was added. And it's literally an option. You can turn it on or turn it off. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep. What other things are going on?
Planning for next year.
Yeah.
Planning.
Next year, I think I'm a little worried. We've been talking about, you know, we've got this core group of people that we have in this area in our California area, right? So David, you're in San Francisco, but you come down here, you know, once or twice a month.
Yeah, they shine me in here like Tupac, basically.
Yes.
And so it's like I'm sitting at the desk. You think I'm there, but then you can put That's your hand true. Right through me.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. We basically just have
a Pepper's ghost.
David on Skype, and the connection to David is pretty much on most of the day.
Yeah.
And he's basically like he's at the office. But then you actually get you here physically, like we have today.
Yeah, no, I'm down. Yeah, I'm down here pretty much every month. So,
right. And those of you who don't know who David is our director of communications. Is that what your title is?
Something like that. Marketing communications director.
You take my really crappy words and make them sound like I actually know what I'm saying.
I massage your verbiage.
You're my verbiage. Yeah.
You've got some nice words.
I have some ideas of what I'm saying, but he's like, when you actually put it together and you say, how about this? Like, oh yeah, well that's a lot better. That actually makes it sound.
That's what I meant.
That's what I meant to say. Thanks.
I'm one of those weird word nerds that totally geek out about that sort of thing though. I mean, just like Lon and I were talking about like the Helvetica documentary.
Oh
yeah. Right.
Like that, like fonts, like type styles and all that stuff. That's my little happy nerd place. That's right. one of my many happy nerd places is that stuff.
It was worth. Well, my dad, it's interesting because, you know, I'm somewhat dyslexic. I've gotten over a lot of it, but I was pretty bad as a child. And my dad is a lot like you. He's a ridiculous nerd. Word nerd.
Ridiculous nerd just like you.
Yeah. Yeah. Word nerd.
How's your staff?
Yeah. Well, he was a speech writer.
Yeah, my dad was a speech writer. So, he was a political consultant and stuff. And so he did a lot of, you know, he would read, he basically read like six full newspapers every day. And he did the crossword puzzle in pen in like 10 minutes, New York Times. It was like ridiculous. So he's just obsessive about words, just loves it. And his writing is incredible. And me, I'm like, I can't spell anything, you know, not at all. So
I was a political rhetoric major. That was my
political rhetoric major. I didn't even know that's
yeah. Such communications a thing. With speech communication, specifically political rhetoric. So I'd study. Wow. You would study famous like speeches and then analyze the target audience and the effectiveness of the speech and try and gauge how, or like you judge. You'd like do tests to kind of check for bias. Like I wrote I wrote something about, you know, perceived bias on events in Northern Ireland when it was really heated there and stuff. I could go pretty boring on this one, but yeah, so that was kind of what I studied.
Wow. That's actually kind of cool because we talk about bias all the time. A little different bias, but still.
My knowledge of most speeches comes from drunk history.
Oh, well, that's a good place to, that's a, probably a better place to start.
Yeah.
Watch enough of the 24-hour news cycles, and I think that's where you want to go anyway.
Mm. I hate the news cycle. I just, and it doesn't even matter what side of the news it is, whether it's Fox or MSNBC or whatever. It just irks me. And then every now and then I'll watch PBS, like the News Hour, which basically is the way news used to be like 30 years ago when mm-hmm. it just told you what happened in the mm-hmm. news and no opinion whatsoever, no music over the piece. There's nothing trying to sway or emotionally get you. It's just telling you what the news is.
Yep.
I was like, oh.
No yeah. Stormageddon?
Yeah.
No Hellestorm.
Bum, bum, bum. Stormageddon. Get ready for the storm of the century. Yes, but we're dealing with something that we don't usually deal with in Los Angeles. It's called rain. Yeah, people don't understand what's going
Precipa
on. Precipice something. Yeah,
and we do not know how to handle it. We don't know how to drive in it.
Nope.
We don't know that UGGs are not waterproof.
The utilities are totally unprepared. The
haven't used our windshield wipers in a year, so they're all tried and cracked. So yeah. The minute you turn them on, it's like, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So any other big things you want to talk about? Want to talk about where we're going next year, Lon? Lon's got some big dreams.
Yeah,
big dreams.
Next year is, I hope.
Getting ready for a new ass.
If 2014 was big, 2015 is gonna blow it out of the water.
Yeah, we're probably gonna have to get a bigger boat, meaning more people to help out and do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
but sure. It's been really awesome, to be honest. I mean being just getting to know the team in Bulgaria and having been there. I've only been there once this year, but Gina's been a whole bunch of times, but I didn't it's a lot of people don't know this. I don't know how big the company is. How many people are in the company now? 150 or something?
150,
like that?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people, and there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a big development team there, really big development team, a great support team, a full 3D team that creates assets and a bunch of other things that are going on as well, and our marketing team and our sales team. And there's a lot of stuff going on, so it's really kind of cool to be involved with that. And the challenge is, of course, the fact that there's a 10-hour time difference between them and us, and that's our challenge right now. But we're dealing with that too, and it's been pretty good. And it, in the end, what's kind of cool is that you can make a request about something at the end of the day, and then you wake up in the morning and it's done. Because they've had all night to work on it.
It's like a night drop.
Yeah.
Previously, I was at the Foundry, and they're based in England, so yeah. it was an eight hour difference. And,
right.
It was a little bit of fun navigating that, but the thing that drove me nuts is they're really into doing the. Not just the Skype call, but you have to have your video camera
on. Why?
I don't know. But I was like, oh, God. So they're always seeing me and like at my worst, or just with my baseball cap and I'm tired because the meeting's super early in the morning because it's the end of their day there and stuff like that. But they're very pro. I think just to torture me.
Yeah, I think we're the exact opposite. Keep that camera off.
You don't want to.
I don't want to see that. In your jammies.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I would dress up for you guys. Surprise you. You never know. You just don't know.
That's right. I'm going to come in like, just to have like the smoking jacket and like the pipe.
Yeah. Fez.
A fez would be good.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yep. It's cool. All right. Well, should we?
I guess so.
Yeah. We did pretty well. Just under an hour. That's a pretty good podcast.
That's good.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to year two of Labs.
Yeah.
See where we can take that.
Reminder for the podcast, just let us know what you'd want to hear, if there's other things you want to talk about. We've got a whole bunch of people that I've already talked to that I'm trying to get lined up for the next podcast. So
you might have an unexpected amazing guest.
Really? Who?
Or
no.
Might have Lon and myself.
Someone really, really big, chatting.
Yeah, or just.
But you see, I don't mind the just chatting stuff either. I think it's really interesting sometimes.
Can you talk about your staff now?
My staff?
I think, can you
elaborate what my staff is?
Elaborate on your staff.
I decided to start playing Guild Wars 2 again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's very nerdy. It's a really nerdy thing. And so basically, I got really excited because I decided to, as a necromancer, I was going to switch my weapons from a focus and axe to a staff, and I wanted to really see what I could do with my staff. And I was going out there. I was like, I got my new staff. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it's a new skill set. It's something for the resume.
It's a whole new thing. Yeah, something for the resume. That's right. So, yes, it is very geeky. Thanks for making me bring that up.
No, no. Well, the funny thing is not because, I mean, I'm class A goober, but but it was the just how excited you were
about my staff.
About your staff.
I just couldn't wait to go home and play with my staff, which is a virtual thing that doesn't matter. Yes.
Yeah. It did bring new meaning to the word staff meeting, right? We were teasing about that.
Yeah. Stealing me about my staff meeting.
Yeah. But I mean, your staff is impressive.
It is. You should see what it can do. It's very, very impressive. Yep. And it's made of wood.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. All right, guys.
Well, that went south.
All right. We're going to let the last bucket. Do we have to change the rating now on this show? No, I don't think so. That's fine.
Is it uber explicit?
So let us know anything you want to see or hear or do or whatever. But all right. We'll let the last bucket drop. And thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.